SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's pain-free Friday for Pharrell on a bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny said the sun just popped out, so she's out on the back deck rolling up a hybrid frosted melon cookie Tahoe Hydro. And sipping shots of JMO with it in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fights and party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, there's tons of tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be check out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's your boy, Uncle Futrelli, along with Carver High. Brett's running it today. Mafia is getting married tomorrow, so he's out of commission. LTN in charge in Kansas City, Mo to show me state. It's all evolving rapidly. I am just absolutely rocking the green jacket sign. Masters round two, Augusta National. I got it all going on, like Flava Flav over here, Carver Hot. Dr. David Chow will allegedly join us from ProFootballDoc.com like he does on Fridays. We'll get every injury update, COVID updates, Browns, are they getting Nick Chubb back? Austin Eckler, how far is he off? Big Ben's knees, Alshon Jeffrey, Miles Sanders look like they're a go. Christian McCaffrey's shoulder. We'll get into a little Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde. You get it all with our boy, Dr. Chow. A Masters update, no less. Carver High, massive action today on betting tickets at the Masters. He is going crazy. We got Louis on the show today. Ustaz in style. Tiger talking about Augusta. DeChambeau in big trouble of making the cut at this point. We got our eyes on it. We'll hear from him. CBS's plans if the Masters interferes with NFL. We'll get into that. Tonight, college football, there's three more games, including Iowa and Minnesota. Hopefully that game won't get canceled in the next couple of hours. We'll hear from Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach. He's livid they're not playing this week. All they do is cry at Ohio State. Have you ever seen anything like it? Like, I mean, did they cry their way into a season? Now they're crying because what? A bunch of people have COVID and they can't play? I mean, there's nothing that'll stop these people. They blame. They're the same people that think Don should stay in the White House forever, never come out and, you know, admit he lost. He's with those people. Ryan Day's with those people. What do you mean, you people? Carver High's like, we got a situation early in the show today. We're going to have to go to break. Herm has the Hanta. Your boy Herm Edwards, he's got the Hanta, Carver High. Watch out, super spreader. Utah UCLA canceled. SEC approved a 12-19 makeup date. I'd rather have a 12-19 makeout date with some of the hotties from maybe not. The SEC hotties, you don't like that idea? Don't talk about hotties on the show. Don't talk about leg on the show. All righty. We got Saturday's big games. Carver High will break it down. The Marlins. Name a woman their general manager. This is awesome. Nice move by Derek Jeter and company. We'll tell you about it. Abreu and Freeman winning MVPs in each league. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sports Grid Radio. Go to sportsgridradio.com. Get the Sports Grid Radio app. We're on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Also, Sports Grid Radio overnights. Pharrell on a bench, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beats. Check out our YouTube page, subscribe free, and you can watch us do the shows. I'll see you tonight on the bench at 10 p.m. East, 7 West. Yankees listening to offers for Gary Sanchez, their horrible catcher. The Magic, are they using Aaron Gordon as trade bait and the number 15 pick to move up in the draft? The Celtics eyeing Drew Holiday. Are the Hornets emerging as a suitor for Russell Westbrook, or is it the Knicks that are willing to spend the 130 millones? Mike Conley sticking with the Jazz, 34.5 million. Oladipo says he's committed to the Pacers. All that other rhetoric was lies, that he wanted out, that he wanted traded. Haslam coming back for an 18th season in Miami. Why? You're so finished, dude. Like, what are you doing? Just coach or something. Go into the front office. Community relations. You have no game left at all. I mean, honestly, I have more game than him. Butler joins the Heat staff. Caron Butler. Ivy League cancels their winter sports. My buddy's a coach at Princeton.
He's a mess right now. He can't even leave his bedroom. The whole thing has got him flustered. His whole week got ruined.
Bubbleville will happen at the Mohegan. You don't even know what that means. It just sounded good. It's like Krzyzewskiville, but they're actually going to be playing a bunch of basketball games in Connecticut in the woods at a casino, which is awesome. I wonder if any of the kids will have action on the games. UConn, the start of their season in jeopardy because a player tests positive for Nahanta. Adam Kaplan will join us on Sports Grid Coast to Coast today to talk NFL pain day. We'll get into everything. Dolphins players with COVID include Kyle Van Noy. Pats had 20 players on the injury report. Josh McCown activated by the Texans. Frank Reich, big win for the Colts last night. We'll talk about it. They take over the lead in the AFC South. Steelers' Big Ben to come off the COVID list. Looks like he'll be able to go on Sunday. We'll hear from Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Tua, Trey White of the Bills. Russell Wilson will be on the show today. We have it all for you. T-Bud says he'll fight McGregor MMA style. That's our boy Terrence Crawford. He's fighting tomorrow night. He's going to kick Kell Brook's ass. And Mo Salah, Liverpool, has the Hanta as well. Paul Horning dies, the Notre Dame legend. It's Coast to Coast. Go with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, we go out to sunny Southern California. Yay. San Diego, La Jolla. Dr. Chow absolutely chilling the most at the beach with young Davis surfing again, riding the break. Chicks dig him. Hey, Dr. Chow, how you doing today from ProFootballDoc.com, my man?
I'm doing well. This is more of a drop-off and timing thing. I'm still in scrubs headed back to work, but this is the only way I could get him to surfing.
Liar. He's going to go surfing in 5 minutes. He's just pretending like he has to go back to the OR today. You know he's got a cold beer and his feet in the sand. He's got a chair out. He's copping rays, waxing the board, chicks in bikinis. He's got it all going. Dr. Chow, let's talk about the many positive COVID tests around the NFL. They're increasing, but no games are getting postponed or moved back. Why the difference, do you think, between the NFL and college football, where it's run rampant in college and are canceling games left and right?
Well, a couple of reasons there. First of all, college campuses are much more dangerous, right? In college for football, you're only allowed a couple hours in the facility. So the vast majority of your time is on your own. In the NFL, the vast majority of your time is in the facility. You have very limited free time because the NCAA limits on how much time you can have. And college campuses with kids and young kids mingling is a danger. The other difference is in college, they have a higher standard, right? It's not that they don't necessarily can't test as often. They may not be as the NFL, but the standard is to their college campus, the community at large, and students who don't get paid. In the NFL, everybody gets paid. And so, you know, they had their chance to opt out. And the ones that are opting in are understanding what the risk is. And so I think those are some fundamental differences, as well as the inability to have one governing body, in, like in the NFL, dictate all the rules. In colleges, different conferences, different schools, different states, they all have different rules and different enforcement. And that's where you get some of the misunderstandings as to why cancellations and why things aren't consistent.
Why do you think it's so bad again, and it's so out of control, and so the numbers are soaring beyond the wildest numbers that we saw in March, April, and May? It's worse now everywhere. Hospitals are inundated. ICUs are full. They're putting people out in tents and parking lots. They've got trucks for bodies. It's chaotic. Are you not nervous about this thing again?
Well, you know, I don't know that I was never not nervous about it, but I don't know that I'm any different right now. In San Diego, that's all I can speak for. I mean, yes, there is an uptick. We're headed towards purple now. Who would have known that purple's worse than red, right? I mean, I thought red was the worst, but the way they have it graded here. So there is a step backwards. But, you know, my wife works at the hospital, and, you know, thankfully I don't. I'm outpatient. But there isn't the big surge in hospitals yet. Fingers crossed there won't be. But some of this was not unexpected. You know, when we talked earlier in the offseason, I said the NFL, just talk about football, would start and start on time. What happened after that would be the big question mark. And part of the question is the return of flu season. Look, my kids here, they've had friends, that some private schools are open. The other day, his friend who goes to a private school, they went to the doctor's waiting room, and there were three other kids from his same class, from his same grade, going to get a COVID test. All three of them were negative. They all just had some allergies and colds from the season, because it's, you know, November. And I think, you know, it's hard to tell what really is an early stage of COVID and what's just a kid getting a cold. And that confuses the issue.
It's so brutal out there in sunny Southern California with the, you know, the changing of the seasons and the fall foliage. And I mean, it's so rough, the weather and the rain and the cold and everybody getting sick and getting the cold and flu, and your kids and you are surfing. It's got to be really rough on you, Dr. Chow. I mean, you put on that sunblock.
let me tell you, my biggest stress of the day is that he was cold last week. And now he's got a thicker wetsuit on, a dry suit. And boy, I don't know if you ever put one of those on. I've never put one on a little kid before, squirming around. That was like a struggle to get that
on. It's tough. It's very tough. So is Nick Chubb going to be good to go coming off the knee injury for the Browns?
Yes, I do believe he'll be good to go and effective. Remember in week four when he went out with a six-week estimate, and Austin Eckler went out the same week with a 4 to 6 week estimate, I said Chubb will beat Eckler back. Mark my words. Here's Chubb. Eckler's not back yet.
How far off do you think Eckler is? He's shown some videos of himself running.
Well, I know. I think he was teasing people. It was sped up video. There was a little hitch in his gait. And I retweeted that on my timeline saying, great to see him running. And I said, yes, December is not far away, because he was saying he's close. You know, I still think it's December before he plays.
So what is the latest on Big Ben? A, got off the COVID list. B, both knees a little bit banged up in Dallas last week. You think he'll be good to go against the Bengals?
Absolutely. We said at halftime he would come back for the game last week, or last Sunday, and he did. And, yeah, I knew he wasn't going to practice this week. He will be fine to go for the game, which is why, you know, we said early on the line opened Sunday night, Bengals plus 10. If you like the Bengals, take it. The last time I looked, FanDuel had it 6.5 because of Big Ben's worries. But I'll bet you it goes past 7, 7.5 or more the other way once news gets out that Big Ben is fine. So market timing is part of the things we try and help you do at ProFootballDoc.com.
You're beautiful people, actually. The Eagles are going to get Alshon Jeffrey back and Miles Sanders as well?
The Eagles, we all know the Eagles have been among the most injured teams. The mantle has been passed. The baton has been passed to the 49ers. The Eagles coming off their bye are getting healthier. They're not the healthiest yet, but they're not at the doldrums anymore. Miles Sanders will be back and be effective. Alshon Jeffrey, this is his first appearance this season. It's great that he's back, but I don't know that he's playing 60 or 70 snaps. It might be 20 snaps, but that's still progress. And the big news is Lane Johnson, I think, has a good chance, their right tackle, to actually finish a game. And Jason Peters is back. And so they're getting healthier, the Eagles.
Have you ever seen anything like the Niners injury list? And the Patriots have 20 guys on theirs. That Niners, the entire team's injured.
Yeah, you know, have I ever seen anything like the Niners? Yeah, I mean, the Eagles were that way earlier this season, right? I mean, now it's the Niners' turn. But everyone focuses on the Niners' offensive weapons, all of their running backs, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, et cetera, Jimmy G, right? But their defense is banged up too. Richard Sherman hasn't played in a long, long time. They traded a linebacker, and they've got four quality defensive linemen that would start on almost any team that have been out, from Nick Bosa to Solomon Thomas to Dee Ford to Ezekiel Ansah. So they've been banged up on both sides of the ball, and now they lost Jaquiski Tartt, their safety.
So what about McCaffrey's shoulder? He's having a rough season with these injuries.
McCaffrey's shoulder is actually better off than it seems. I'm sure given the choice, CMC would choose to play through it with an injection or just deal with the pain. Remember, he came back into the game. But it's the Panthers who are telling him, no, you're our young star, you're our future, we're not competing for the playoffs this year. Let's not get continually banged up and have long-term issues. We only want to play you if you're fully healthy. This is what I'm impugning on their thought process. They haven't said this out loud. But look at the high ankle. It took him 7 weeks to come back, and it wasn't like it was a delayed recovery. When he came back at 7 weeks, they used him almost 30 times. They gave him a full load. So I think they're just waiting for McCaffrey to be 100% to play him, which is why he's not playing this week. And quite honestly, I doubt he plays next week too, because it's a few weeks before he's 100%.
Got 15 seconds, respectfully. Are Carson and Hyde close for the Seahawks?
No. Travis Homer's probably number one, DJ Dallas, then Hyde, then Carlos, then Carson. But I don't think Hyde or Carson are being activated today or Sunday.
All right, Doc. Great stuff as usual. Everybody go to profootballdoc.com for everything else, at profootballdoc on Twitter. Have a great weekend, brother. Have fun with Davis at the La Jolla Shores. Have a good surf. I know you're not going back to the office, liar.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm telling you, Scott, I love the Pac-12. You know, that's what you do. I watch football all day. I wake up. I just watch football. I watch football. I watch football. Sometimes do other things, you know, glug, glug, glug. You know, I'm not going to tell you everything that I do. But you know what I mean? I like those late games, too. And my girlfriend's pretty cool. She says, hey, you know what? I'll leave you alone on Saturdays because all you want to do is bet and watch football anyway. I'll catch you later. So it's kind of like my night to unwind and go bananas. I'm pissed off. I'd love to see these games. And you said it, Scotty. Every single hour, there's a new one. Herm Edwards has got the COVID, man. This is a disaster.
How's your golf tickets doing, Cam?
Pretty damn good. I'm actually really feeling pretty good right now. Patrick Cantlay was one of my picks. He's right there today. He's one shot off the pace. Brooks Koepka was really worried me, but he's at 500. We got some horses in this race, Scotty. It's going to be a great weekend. Dustin Johnson right at the top. Justin Thomas, a lot of big boys. I didn't have Abraham Answer, but one of our fans of me and Gabe's show picked him to win. I can't believe this guy's tied for the lead right now. What a pick.
The guy's got a sweet game, and he doesn't hit the ball big. He just hits it clean and hits it straight. And I think that that Caleb Smith, same way. That guy just hits the ball straight and keeps it in the fairway. So I think it's going to be a hell of a weekend, Saturday and Sunday with the Masters. All right, Cam, we'll check you out next hour, buddy. Good stuff.
You got it.
All right, so Carver, Hyde, let's get more into the Masters because we got your leaderboard. Answer, Smith, the Aussie that I mentioned, Justin Thomas, and DJ, all at 9-under, a four-way tie. Cantlay and M at 8-under, the South Korean M. Danny Willett, former champ, at 7-under with a pack that includes your boy Fleetwood Mac, Justin Rose, Pan, and Paul Casey. Casey even today after his strong first round. What do you think of the Masters so far through two?
It's been really exciting. I've watched a lot of it this morning. I've been into it big time, of course. Like you said, we've got a lot of action going here on the Masters. And there's some big names at the top. And you've got guys out on the course right now, Scotty, who, if they continue to play well between the rest of today and they'll have to finish tomorrow morning because they're a little backed up on everything with the rain yesterday, these names might join those guys at 6, 7, 8, and 9 under. The John Rahms, the other guys that are – one guy who won't be is DeChambeau. He is completely unraveled, Scotty. Bryson DeChambeau has been all over the course. But there's plenty of guys who are going to be in the mix. Tiger, I just saw get out of the woods. So Tiger's still at -4. He's got a chance to be there, Scotty. All in all, the course looks good. The guys that played in the morning, you know, they had to play 27 holes, but they got through it. These guys will have to do the same tomorrow. It's been a fun Masters here.
So DeChambeau, let's go over his problems. A, you know what happened, right? He teed off on 3 and hit the ball left. He went for the big bomb. The green was 360. He tried to drive it. He went left, and there must have been 10 or 12 people looking for that ball. It got plugged. They never found the ball. The rule now is 3 minutes, not 5. The rules official said, you're out of time. We got to go back and tee off. So he went back, teed off, and he hit it to the same spot, basically, left. He ended up with a triple. That left him at 2 over. Now he's at 1 over. And my question is, he's got 10 holes to play. He's on 9 right now. He's at +1. They're talking about even par. Top 50 is the cut. Do you think he still makes it with 10 holes to go to get under?
I do think he'll still make it, and he's had a wild day. I mean, birdie, triple bogey, 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 birdie, bogey, birdie. He just missed an eagle on 8. It was a pretty close putt, and he missed it. He ended up settling for birdie there. I think that between the rest of today, and he's going to have to come back in the morning and play his last couple of holes, I think he'll find his way, Scotty, somehow into the top 50. He maybe won't, you know, maybe he won't take as many chances, you know, in this final back nine because he knows he wants to get into that cut line. We'll see what he can do. Let's hear from some of these guys, Scotty, if you'd like to. Now, I had to play for you one of your favorites, and that is Louis Oosthuizen, of course. He's having a pretty good Masters so far. Let's hear from Louis, Scotty. He basically said the course yesterday was one of the easiest that he has ever played at the Masters. Here's Louis.
Probably as easy as you're going to play Augusta ever. I've hit 4 irons into the greens where it plugged. I had a 7-wood into 15, it plugged. I don't think you'll ever have the opportunity to go that aggressive at pins. You know, so completely different to what we're used to playing. Yeah, it was playing a little longer, but not as much as I thought it would be. But yeah, definitely. It was tricky on the greens because, you know, in your head what it used to do, and all of a sudden you got to go less line and hit a lot firmer. And I think that was a little tricky putting on the greens.
He's 6 under for the tournament, 2 under for today. How about your boy Rory? 6 under today, a 66. What did you think of that round? He finds himself at 3 under. He's in it.
I couldn't believe how well he played when he started his second round, because when he finished this morning, Scotty, I was watching him. At one point, Vern Lundquist, who's usually on holes like 15 and 16, Rory hit one in the drink on 16, and you heard Vern go, this is so sad. And then Faldo starts getting on him like, I can't believe Rory's playing like this. And then, Scotty, he buckled down, like you said, -6 in his second round. Monster comeback for Rory. So he's going to be able to be in the mix, it looks like, for the weekend down in Augusta. Let's hear from Tiger. He's on the course right now. I believe he's still where he started at -4. I saw him hit one in the trees, but he got out of it pretty well the last hole that he played. He says, Scotty, that he knows Augusta so well that it's an advantage to him, and it's going to keep him in the mix all weekend. Here's Tiger.
Well, I think that understanding how to play this golf course is so important. I was saying in there to Tom that I've been lucky enough to have played so many practice rounds earlier in my career with a lot of past champions. And, you know, I was able to win this event early in my career, and Bill was, you know, set myself up for the understanding that I'm going to come here, you know, each and every year. And the fact that this tournament is played on the same venue each and every year, you know, the other three majors aren't.
So Tiger bogeyed at 3. He missed a little 3-footer, and he looked like he was ready to snap his club. And he just did you see how slow he walked after he missed it? It took him like 5 minutes to go 5 feet. And then at 7, he just bogeyed again. He's 1 over for the day. He's at 3 under now and dropping a little bit. We'll keep our eyes on Tiger. Another guy that's out there battling is John Rahm. I'm actually watching him golf right now. There's a lot going on with this leaderboard. It is fantastic.
It's constantly moving, and we were just talking about Louis Oosthuizen being at minus six. He just birdied Scotty to get to minus seven.
Louis.
So your boy Louis Oosthuizen in the mix down at Augusta. You love to see it. We talked about Bryson DeChambeau before. Here he is, Scotty, from yesterday. He clearly didn't take his advice today because after the round yesterday, he said, I took too many risks in round one. He didn't change his tune today. Here is Bryson DeChambeau.
I'm very happy with the patience I delivered to the course today. I started off strong, had a 5-footer, and I misread it a little bit. I just pulled my drive on 11 and went too far and made a great par save. Had an opportunity on 12, lipped it out. And then 13, I just didn't draw it around the corner enough and I got greedy. This golf course, as much as I'm trying to attack it, you know, it can bite back. It's still Augusta National and it's the Masters. It's an amazing test of golf no matter what way you play it. And I tried to take on some risks today. It didn't work out as well as I thought it would have. But at the end of the day, I'm proud of myself the way I handled myself and finish off. You know, birding 8 and 9 was a testament to my focus level and wanting to contend here.
So Rahm is now at 7 under. He just birdied number 9. So he's starting to creep up the board. I mean, this is fantastic. I can't get enough of this action, Carver High. I can't get enough. I got the green jacket on the whole deal. The whole weekend, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to watch the Masters at Mafia's wedding, even in the pew at the church. Oh, wait a minute. I'm standing in the wedding. It might be a little difficult.
Yes.
But I can tell you, the minute I get to that reception, I'm going to be rocking it. I'll still have it going all day long on the ESPN Plus or whatever the hell it is.
A couple of other guys. Paul Casey had the minus 7 yesterday. Remember when play stopped, he was in the lead. A couple of guys, of course, have caught him and passed him. He has parred every hole today, Scotty. He's through the first 7 or 8 holes. He's parred everything. No bogeys, no birdies. He just missed a birdie putt. So Paul Casey's still hanging around at minus 7. And my guy, Scotty, I watched him all morning. Justin Thomas, birdie. He was all over the place. He's tied for the lead at minus 9. We have a large ticket on Justin Thomas to win the Masters, Scotty, and I'm hoping that when we get back together on Monday afternoon, we are going to be very excited talking about JT. Did you see this, that if the coverage goes late on Sunday, because remember, CBS has the coverage, they have NFL football at 4 o'clock Eastern. If it goes late, if there's a playoff, etc., they will bump the coverage, Scotty, and move it over to ABC, who, of course, they're tied in with this because ESPN has the Masters. They'll throw it on ABC over the air. How about CBS pushing off the Masters for the NFL at 4 o'clock if they're in a playoff? That's crazy.
Pain Day is all that matters. I love the Masters, but we got more action in NFL football than anything else. I can tell you that much. And how about we don't even mention DJ? He was 2 under today, and he had a couple of bogeys on the backside on 14 and 15, but he's right there at 9 under in the pack, in the lead, heading toward Saturday in the third round. And that guy, I just think it's going to be, at this point, I'm willing to lean on DJ and Thomas.
I'm right with you, but we know DJ in the past, Scotty, on the weekends in majors, it can get a little dicey for him. He did get his one win at the U.S. Open a couple years ago. Will DJ be able to keep playing? He was putting great today. If DJ plays like that all weekend, he could run away, Scotty. I mean, run away from these guys over the last 2 days, but I'm hoping that JT could stick in there with him throughout the whole thing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then last week, Ortiz, the Mexican guy, won at Houston. Now you got Answer in the lead at the tied for the lead is amazing. Another Mexican.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, a couple other things, Carver High, before we go on to college football. A, I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. The camera work at by ESPN at the Masters is atrocious. The guy's on just massive bong hits. He can't follow whoever's in charge. You know, you're missing every single shot. It's just, I mean, it's like They have no idea where the ball's flying. These camera guys, they're awful. They all have to be drunk. I mean, there's just no getting around it. They've been terrible. You know, they should stick to, you know, Monday Night Football or something, because they are not good at golf. Let CBS's golf guys run it. They do it for a living. And then you can't even deny it. The only thing good about the camera work they've done at this Masters is the drone work over the golf course has been phenomenal shots that you've never seen before. That's pretty cool. And then Reed, Mickelson, Koepka, and Simpson. How about that pack? Reed at 6 under, the rest of them at 5 under, and just stalking your boy Lefty and Koepka. Webb Simpson chasing Reed, 1 down of him, 4 off the lead. Reed 3 off the lead. This is just scintillating.
And all those guys are going to be on the course here until they kick them off and tomorrow morning to finish their second round. So lots of opportunities for Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson to get up near where JT and DJ are, up in the -9, -8 area before round two. And you're right about the cameras. I mean, they just showed one drive by DeChambeau. I almost thought I was on a carnival ride, Scotty. I mean, the camera's just moving all over the place. It was nonstop. Guys, let's get it right here. Seriously. Let's go to college football.
We've got
I think there are still a few games left, Scotty. I know it's these games have been – we'll talk about it in a minute. Games are getting canceled left and right in college football because of COVID. We do have 3 games tonight. Let's start there. FAU and FIU, the Battle of South Florida taking place, -9.5 for FAU right now. We've got Iowa and Minnesota in the Big Ten. Go row the boat with your boy PJ as a home dog. And East Carolina getting 27.5 against undefeated number 6 Cincinnati. What do you think tonight, Scotty?
All right, so, you know, remember what I said. Florida State is no better than FAU or FIU. They are now in the same fraternity as those two. So you could just put them right in there with all the losers. Florida Atlantic wins. FIU covers the 9 o'clock. I like Minnesota to upset Iowa tonight in Minneapolis. Iowa's going to be freezing their ass off. They hate it there. I like East Carolina with a 27.5 on the spread. Cincinnati to win the game. I think Cincinnati will take East Carolina lightly going into this game like it's a walk in the park. So I'm going to middle that one, middle the FAU game, and I'm going to take the points with Minnesota. When it opened, I got it at 3 with the Gophers. Row the boat, my ass. They'll be lucky if they ever win a game. I'm sick of hearing about how great PJ Fleck is doing at Minneapolis because he's not doing anything. How's that sound?
We'll stay in the Big Ten now. Ohio State is not playing this weekend. As we know, their game against Maryland has been canceled or postponed, whatever you want to call it. Let's listen now, Scotty, to Ohio State head coach Ryan Day. He says it really sucks because my team has done everything right and they are getting punished by not having to play a game. And while we listen to Day, Scotty, why don't you check out your screen for the advanced line on next week's big Ohio State game with Indiana. Here's Ryan Day.
The hardest thing is looking the team in the eye, who's done everything you've asked them to do, and they can't play. And I mentioned that when you know, Nebraska wasn't able to play, and you know, somebody said, "Well, you know, what happens to you?" And that's you know, when I said, I feel awful, and I do. I feel awful for this team. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, if yesterday was you couldn't be any more of a reminder of where we're at in this whole thing. And this is the first time we've really been affected by it. By no fault of our own, but this is kind of the way it goes. And so, yeah, at any moment, it can turn sideways. So we've got to stay on it. It's got to be really, really important and really the number one thing we think about when we wake up in the morning.
Listen, can you believe this team, the way they cry about everything? Honestly, I've been saying it since the beginning of the show. They cried about they canceled the Big Ten season. They were the front runners of criers. They were at the head of the pack crying about it, Justin Fields and Ryan Day. Then they give them their season, and now they're crying about games being canceled. Do you think they'll complain if anybody's dead from the COVID? Do you think they'll cry about that too? Because, I mean, honest to God, they've already gift-wrapped them the college football playoff slot. I mean, they haven't even played their games, and they're going to the playoff. Ohio State's going to that playoff as sure as we're all sitting here. Shut up already, Ryan. You know, go have a sandwich and a beer, and you're not playing this weekend. Get ready for Indiana next week, and I'll take that 22 spot with the Hoosiers.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one plenty next week. But the early line of 22, Scotty, no respect right now.
No respect
for the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers. Let's go to Wisconsin.
No respect.
They have not played. They have not played in a few weeks. They have had a major COVID situation there. They are going to get back on the field against Michigan tomorrow night. Here is head coach Paul Chryst. Doesn't know who's going to play quarterback. Doesn't really know who's going to play at a lot of places. But they're going to be there and they're ready to play. Here's Coach Chryst.
I feel good with it. You know, I do feel confident. And their experience level might be different. But, you know, I think that that's, you know, part of us is making sure we give them a plan that they can be successful with. And, you know, what I think is a good indicator is that I think the players feel good about that. And so whoever it is, and, you know, I know right now the specific question was about quarterback, but I think you'll see that at different positions. And, you know, I think we're all confident in who will be on the field.
I'll tell you what I am confident about is how much enjoyment I have watching Michigan lose games. When Indiana beat them and the problems when Michigan State beat them, I want to see Wisconsin beat them as well. That's what I want to see.
And by the way, I'd like to change my vote from before about DeChambeau making the cut. I just watched him hit a shot. He looked like me at the 11th green at the Cape Cod Irish Open. He went from one side of the green to the other. He's in a lot of trouble on this hole he's on now, DeChambeau. He might have the weekend off. Arizona State head coach Herm Edwards, he tested positive for COVID, Scotty. The Sun Devils, also a bunch of players. Their game with Cal tomorrow night is off. Also in the Pac-12, Utah and UCLA, that is also off. They're not going to play. Utah has a major COVID situation. We know about the SEC this week. They did approve December 19th to be a makeup week. That is supposed to be the day of the SEC championship game. They will play that. If there's anybody else in conference who has games that they can make up, they will do it that day as well. We do have, Scotty, some games left on the card. Let's take a look at a bunch of them if you would like to. Indiana and Michigan State, -7.5 for the Hoosiers right now. Va Tech now -2.5 against the U. Notre Dame down to 12.5 at BC, Chestnut Hill. West Virginia -2.5 now. They are hosting TCU, Scotty.
Yeah, you know, I like West Virginia over TCU in Morgantown. I like Notre Dame to win, but BC to cover the number in Chestnut Hill. I like Miami to upset Va Tech on the road, if you want to call it that. I think Miami's a better football team than Va Tech. Their record indicates it. Va Tech's like 4-3. Miami's 6-1. I thought they had a nice win on the road. At NC State, I middled that game. I hit the Canes to win and NC State in the 9.5. So I'm going to go Miami to win this game outright in Blacksburg, and I'm going to go Hoosiers win. Spartans cover the 7.5. I think it'll be a really good game. The Spartans have owned Indiana. Literally, it's like 14 of the last 15 games they played. I think Joe Lisi told me last night on the bench. And I think Indiana's excited about where they are, excited about next week in Columbus, and let's see if they're laser focused on a bad Spartan team that's had their problems. I think that could be an interesting game.
We also have USC, the Trojans, one Pac-12 game that is still on the board. They're -14.5 at Arizona. We said Michigan and Wisconsin before, -4.5 for the Badgers on the road. Washington State and Oregon, that one on the screen actually flipped that. Oregon is -14.5 at the Cougars, and Florida -17.5. They take on Arkansas, Scotty.
I'm going USC and laying, Wisconsin and laying, Oregon and laying, and I'm going Florida winning and Hogs with the points at 17.5. The Hogs cover every single week. I mean, they've been absolutely amazing. They got their hands full, though, with Trask and this Florida Gator team in the swamp. What else you got for me? More games. I love it.
One more for you, Scotty. Here we go. North Carolina and Wake Forest, -12.5 for the Tar Heels at home. Penn State and Nebraska, two teams in the Big Ten that need a win in the worst way possible. You can scratch that Utah-UCLA game off the board. Of course, we made this a few hours ago when that game was still being played. And then you have Kentucky at home, -18.5 against Vandy, Scotty.
I think Kentucky's going to paste Vanderbilt. And obviously the Utah game was canceled. I'm going to go Penn State and lay it dangerously in Lincoln. And I'm on UNC at home in Chapel Hill to win. But too much wood. I like Wake Forest with the 12.5 on the other side. Middle that one.
So we'll get some college football action in tomorrow. We'll talk about it all on Monday. A little baseball for you, Scotty. Historic day, you could say, not just in baseball, but really in professional sports throughout the United States is the Marlins. They hire Kim Ng as the first female general manager in baseball history and really in any of the four major men's professional sports. Kim Ng, now the general manager of the Marlins. How about that, Scotty?
Well, I think that she made her bones with the Yankees. I know she's had other experiences in baseball, but none better than working for Cashman and the Steinbrenners in New York with the Yankees. This is obviously the connection to Derek Jeter, and he saw what she was capable of in New York. We all know who she is in New York. No one else has probably ever heard of her, but she's got three decades of baseball in her blood. I think she's a great choice. I think it's a phenomenal move. Congrats to her and the Marlins for having the stones to make such a wonderful hire. Congratulations to everybody. I think it's great. I think she's going to do fantastically in Miami. I think she's a smart woman that knows baseball as good as any man. And anyone in the Yankee organization will tell you exactly that. She's a badass.
Yeah, spent years as the assistant GM with the Yankees and then was assistant GM with the LA Dodgers for a long time. And
screw
has been
the
in
Dodgers.
The commissioner's – screw the Dodgers is right. And in the commissioner's office for the last few years as well. Tiger just got that bogey back, Scotty. He just birdied eight. So Tiger gets himself back to -4. What I'd be worried about with Tiger is if he's got to play extra holes tomorrow, which he's going to, I think that that could hurt him stamina-wise. If Tiger's got to play, let's say, 22, 23, 24 holes, that could be bad for him. Jose Abreu, Scotty, is your American League MVP. Freddie Freeman, the National League MVP. Listen, I didn't think any real surprises. You wouldn't have picked Abreu at the beginning of the year, but Freddie Freeman had a really monster year for the Braves.
Listen, I know a lot of people are clamoring that Mookie Betts should have been the MVP, and I think Mookie Betts, I could have named him the MVP of the World Series without a doubt, but and the playoffs for that matter. I thought Mookie Betts was the difference for the Dodgers and took him over the top. But I'm going to give Freddie Freeman the MVP. He earned it. He was incredible and literally the leader in almost every category in baseball in the National League. What he did with extra base hits and everything else on base percentage, I thought he was phenomenal. I have no doubt Abreu deserved it. I love what DJ LeMahieu did. The Yankees have to re-sign him or they're going to be crippled without him.
And the Yankees allegedly, Scotty, are listening to offers for Gary Sanchez. I got to tell you, I don't know what you could possibly get for Gary Sanchez right now after he hit, what, $110 this year and you sat him in the playoffs? What are you possibly getting for Gary Sanchez right now?
Well, I think it's time to finally get rid of him because he's been just so terrible and he can't hit and he's a terrible catcher. I mean, what is there positive to say about Gary Sanchez anymore? Get him out of here. I'm sick and tired of Gardy, too, that old goat. Get him out of there. Let's go speed and young and hitters.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, huge news developing here in college football as we speak. What's the story?
Yeah, we were just talking about those two games that got postponed or canceled, I should say, today. Well, the teams that don't have the COVID issues, which is Cal and UCLA, they are now going to play, Scotty, on Sunday, believe it or not. Crazy as it sounds, at the Rose Bowl, Cal and UCLA, Sunday, 9 a.m. Pacific time, so noon Eastern, the game will air on FS1. So the two teams that didn't have the problems, they will now play. Nice job by the Pac-12. You know, maybe there should be more of this on the fly rescheduling for the teams that are actually healthy, Scotty.
It'll be interesting to see what FanDuel has the line at in that game and who's favored. UCLA's looked awful. A lot of people like Cal this weekend. Do you think Cal can beat UCLA? Breakfast at Tiffany's 9 a.m. at the Rose Bowl?
Let me tell you, I think that anybody could beat UCLA right now. So I got no for anybody could beat UCLA, Scotty. That's for sure.
All right. So here's a fan writing. Pharrell, what do you think of your boy T-Buddy? Says he wants to fight Conor McGregor in an MMA octagon fight. So, Carver High, break it down for me. What do you like T-Bud's chances against Connor?
I mean, put the pipe down, bro. I mean, T-Bud, you're a boxer, man. You get it. You get in the octagon with Connor McGregor, he will absolutely eat you alive. Stay in the boxing ring. I know that Connor went and boxed. I don't think that the crossover is the same, Scotty. I don't like the boxer going into the MMA ring. I think it's a totally different animal. T-Bud, just keep doing what you're doing. Beat up Kell Brook tomorrow night. That's all you should be worried about.
You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing all these boxers think that they can fight in mixed martial arts in an octagon. It would be the most embarrassing thing ever. Let's just stop with all the nonsense. Let's separate church and state. Let's keep the boxing over here, and let's keep, you know, the UFC and MMA and Bellator over here. Let's keep them apart. But I know this. T-Bud is the real deal when it comes to boxing, and tomorrow night he is going to beat Kell Brook's ass. Kell Brook's best days are long gone, and he's going to get worked over. He won't even survive this fight. I think Crawford will finish this fight. It'll be a miracle if he gets to the 12th round. I'm going Crawford. Run to the window on Bud Crawford tomorrow if you like betting on boxing as much as I do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.